time for more movie thoughts, reviews, and royal commentary from Richard Fitzwilliams and Natasha Wanton on the Midweek Drive.
also a recent Resonance Rewind obviously looked at GoldenEye, which is one of the reasons why I decided to actually launch this particular sequence with two delightful tunes. First of all, the wondrous world of She, the Hammer Horror classic from the 1960s, and of course the overture to A Bridge Too Far, which is what you've just heard. Natasha Wanton, as we are about to record this, literally just a matter of hours away from going into 2024, would you like to actually talk to us about Wonka?
Yes. So I went to see this movie on Christmas Day, which probably really heightened the experience for me. It is the perfect holiday movie. So they did really well launching it at the time that they did. This is our third movie that we're getting based on the Roald Dahl classic. And in my opinion, from what I've seen, based upon the other two, this one seems to be a direct prequel to the original 1971 Gene Wilder version. Because we kind of got that weird backstory in the Tim Burton one in the 2005. They sort of did their own thing off piece and gave a backstory there. So this prequel, telling the origin stories of Wonka, seems to be very much related to that 1971 version. And you do get nods to that in the music. So what have we got? What is it all about? So we start with Willy Wonka, obviously. This is his life story. Arriving in a port town, it doesn't really sort of give a particular country that it's attached to. It seems to give off European vibes. So it could be any sort of European sort of port town, but it's called the Galeries de Gourmet. That's the shop that he's going to, sort of giving off Parisian vibes, I suppose. And it's very much a food conscious area. So Willy Wonka's come here. He's got this dream of opening this chocolate shop. He's just been all around the world, picking up these fabulous, wonderful ingredients that we're going to meet along the way. And he's here and he's singing. I was not aware this was a musical when I stepped into the theatres to watch this. It was quite a bemusing first 5 minutes. It then evolved and sort of, I was like, okay, actually this is all right. But the first couple of minutes when Timothée Chalamet was singing, it was like, this is very odd, because it does that sort of Les Mis thing where it breaks in and out of song to sort of continue the narrative. But you kind of get used to it as it goes. So he's here, he's eager, he's keen. He's got his sovereigns in his pocket, which he somehow manages to spend all on his first day. And suddenly he's left sleeping under a bridge. Fortunately, or unfortunately for him, he meets a charming gentleman who takes him along to Mrs. Scrubbit, who owns a laundry, and she's willing to offer him a bed for the night. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, this is the perfect time to recommend that you read your terms and conditions, because poor Willy, though he blasé pretends to, cannot read and cannot read the terms and conditions, and unfortunately signs his life away. And when he cannot pay for his hotel room the next night, oh, he ends up trapped in the laundry, oh, with a very wonderful musical number to sort of compound that effect. Now, he's trying to sell his chocolate in order to obviously establish himself with enough money to make a shop. But he seems to come a cropper of the chocolate cartel, and they are going to stop at nothing to make sure that he cannot sell his chocolate, because it seems to be far better quality than theirs. And they're more than a little bit rattled by it. So we've got Willy trapped in a laundry. He can't sell his chocolate. He's being threatened by the cartel. Oh, he's in a bit of a tight spot. What's going to happen? Perhaps maybe some of the inmates of the laundry might be able to help him, along with a rather long-necked giraffe friend. Who knows? But I won't give you too many spoilers in that one. This is just a wonderful, wonderful film. The plethora of talent in this. You've got random cameos of some excellent actors sort of just popping up here, there, and everywhere. If I can read the name. We've got Timothée Chalamet. We've got Matt Lucas. We've got Hugh Grant, we've got Sally Hawkins, Olivia Colman, we've got Jim Carter, we've got Rowan Atkinson randomly making a couple of lines of a cameo. It's just a really brilliant, happy, joyful piece. Can I just say, I know that the Hugh Grant as the Oompa Loompa is really controversial. I absolutely loved it. It really made that particular there's a particular scene that references a an airplane trip, the sort of a flight with a recliner chair. And that is one of my favorite 5 minutes of the movie. I think that it's excellent. I died. It's just a very joyful, happy movie. There's a lot packed in. It doesn't feel like a long movie, like it's a good 2 hours, but it doesn't feel like it's particularly long, but you've got a lot packed into it. So I think you definitely get your money's worth in terms.
Well, there
So
we are.
yeah,
A
I would
double
give this
thumbs
movie
up.
a nine.
A
I would give
nine.
it nine.
Wow.
Yes.
Anna Koskinen, given that obviously it's a prequel to the Gene Wilder classic from Oompa Loompa Land back in the day, is Wonka something that you're likely to be heading off to going to see in the near future?
Yes, I actually watched. I don't know if it's related to Roald Dahl, and I watched them because of that, or because of I really love the movies. But I've watched everything that was made after his books, because he's actually he's my mom's favorite story writer for kids. So I remember going to British Council when I was little, and we were getting movies from there. You know, those on DVDs, and I remember. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. There was this one, Willy Wonka, Matilda, everything, getting them from there and watching them. And I don't know, as Natasha said, you just don't feel the time passing. And they're so happy and joyful, and they give you such a good mood every time. And they're not weird. They're not weird. I think nowadays some people would find them, I don't know, offensive in some places, or that they're not appropriate with some. With some parts of them, but I don't think it's that. And I think like 10 years or 20 years ago or 5 years ago, there wasn't this problem, and you were able to watch them and don't be scared that you're gonna find something offensive in a kid eating too many candies and getting, you know, bigger and, you know, or a girl getting blue.
Don't be
Nobody would.
sizist, Anna. Don't be sizist. I mean, I appreciate you might have actually appreciated the notion of Wonka, but the very fact that you are picking these up from the British Consul in Romania carries with it notions of empire building and possible cross-cultural contamination on that side of things there. Indeed, actual cultural co-domination. So who knows what could be happening on that basis. Nevertheless, Richard Fitzwilliams, Wonka, is it one for you or have you seen it?
Ah, well, you see, I haven't prepared a film review this week, Alex, so you'll have to discover next week whether I've seen it or not. But I.
Richard, I perfectly understand that. That's totally understandable because I do know that you're very, very keen to actually address the very exciting topic and indeed long-awaited topic for the true awards package that has come through from the whole basis. Of course, we're referring to the awards of the former excellent British Prime Minister, Liz Truss, who has actually released the whole thing there. And I know we'll be delighted to actually find out that Liz has been rewarding people who supported her, and so she should.
Indeed, and she was Prime Minister for 49 days, which is remarkable if you consider it, and also the fact that there were 11 names on her list, and one of them, Shirley Conran, is well known, and comes the name, all the others are politicians. In reality, I went to the briefing for the Admiralty in Whitehall for the New Year's honours, and I think they were extremely unlucky to have their list released synonymously with this. Truss is the point is, a prime minister has the right, even if they've been there for a day in theory, they have the
She
right to.
did such a fantastic job. I'm just surprised you didn't award Kwasi Kwarteng a line as well, because that would have actually helped even more.
Yes, wouldn't it? I can't say that as a duo they weren't necessarily everyone's cup of tea, or indeed made the right
Richard, they were the
decision.
Morecambe Wise of the time, basically. I mean, you know, Liz and Kwasi, very much the cannon and ball of the particular era.
Well, it has to be said, and I'm just switching from a list that, quite honestly, most people will want to forget, and indeed, most people probably don't know it's actually out. I mean, prime ministers have this right. The likes of Tony Blair didn't, because there was an investigation, although it got nowhere into his premiership, and the allegations that there was cash honours haven't Heaven forbid such a thing. You and I, Alex, know perfectly well that every member of the House of Lords is there on their own merit. The fact of some of them, a few of them, or
yeah,
perhaps...
I can't really agree with you on that one, Richard. I mean, I don't think everyone, I don't think every single one is there on their own merit. I think some have actually bought the peerage.
But, Alex, that's a deeply shocking thing to say, and I must ask you to substantiate that with a recording or an email, because that's what the Yates Inquiry couldn't find. Tony Blair didn't have a resignation on this. Gordon Brown didn't have a specific one, but...
They probably vanished into the same place as our current Prime Minister's WhatsApp messages, basically. You know, Rishi Sunak found difficulty locating those.
Well, indeed, he did. And I think, I mean, before we get too drawn into the political arena, in the next year, it's going to be quite lively. With, I think,
return of Donald Trump?
That's getting too toxic for us to deal with transatlantically, when I haven't even dealt with the list of 1,200 people, 56%, which is actually quite considerably down, of them linked to philanthropy. But that is the theme these days, as well it should be.
And Richard, some people are getting double honours. I mean, Dame Shirley Bassey, she's actually increased and become an even more important person now. I mean, surely when you've got one honour, that should be sufficient. You don't have to have double honours coming through.
I'm sorry to say, Alex, that you have misunderstood the system. It's to encourage incentive and also to do that through having a graded system. MBE, for example, member of the British Empire, and then that goes up to the OB, Order of the British Empire. They might change the name, they will at some point. Then it'll go up to CBE and then KBE.
But Richard, as Natasha might confirm, we don't have an empire.
I have just said that the name will probably change. Indeed, it should have changed, I think, before. I mean, the point is that David Cameron brought back the British Empire Medal in 2012. Now, that's a strange thing to do. It had been abolished in the 1990s and didn't change the name. It appears that the reason the name hasn't been changed, this isn't official, but it's my take on it, is the fact that a lot of thousands, in fact, have different levels of the Order of the British Empire at the moment, and I would prefer that it didn't become excellence. It would appear, I mean, it isn't an urgent matter, but it is something that's caused some offence. The late poet Ben Zephaniah, for example. And I mean, I don't see it lasting, I'll put it that way, but I do approve of individuals getting more than one honour. I mean, apart from Justin Welby becoming the Archbishop of Canterbury, becoming...
Well, he deserves it for all his good work that he's been putting in for his friend Charles. Anna, from your own perspective in Romania, do you have a similar thing, or is it a case of, no, in Romania, we actually are a meritocracy? We don't believe in this kind of ludicrous way of actually just awarding people for, you know, increasing levels of failure.
Well, yeah. Alex, forgive me, Anna, but I mean, Alex has just... that summary isn't a summary at all. It's disgraceful. Even by your normal standards, Alex, that is the most biased load of quality.
Anna?
Well, I'm going to start by mentioning that I'm here on a visa, so I have to be very careful with what I'm saying. And the next thing will be that... I don't think our political scene is good in even 1% in our country. So if it were after me, that nobody would ever be in charge that is right now, and new people would come, because some people are too progressive and the other ones are literally on the opposite side, and they just keep fighting, getting nowhere. Some of them increasing the taxes and some of them decreasing the taxes, thinking, oh, everybody's going to be happy with less taxes. But then the prices get higher, and then they don't understand how, because they don't know basic economics, you know, and they don't know the law of demand and supply. They have no idea about that. And they just come to the public, they fight about it. And then they have the impression that everyone that listens to them is basically on some sort of level stupid. Or if not, not able to understand minimal, I don't know, decency of information. And then they just decrease the wages even more. It's a special situation right now.
And that, in a few words, is why Anna Kaskanalka should take over as the leader of Romania and actually instigate our own honor system. Strangely enough, some of those things, in terms of believing the people are too stupid to even acknowledge the whole thing, could be leveled at the British system as well. Natasha, from your own perspective, in of course that that wonderful supporter of the New Year's honors, I've no doubt Australia. Any thoughts from yourself on this system, or is it a case of, well, how quaint?
I mean, we have a similar system here in Australia. So this one has four levels. So the lowest being Medal of the Order of Australia. Then we have Member of the Order of Australia, then Officer of the Order of Australia, and then Companion of the Order of Australia. So
But
these are
not
given.
Australian Empire.
No, well, yeah.
Despite what you might think about New Zealand.
That's like you might as well call it the Order of the Australian Unicorns. Do you know what I mean? You can't name a thing that doesn't exist.
Good
But it's interesting.
decision.
So
The
anyone.
OBE, the OBU, Order of the British Unicorn. It's already on the actual coat of arms. So why not, the unicorn, the British Unicorn Medal, the BUM? What perfect sort of scenario.
I you can recommend it to His Majesty. I'm sure he would consider making a change for the Constitution. Yeah, I don't know. It seems very similar to the British system. Like anyone can be nominated a member of their community for any of the awards. It's generally given for humanitarian acts. The military does have its own section that the Governor General and the Minister of Defence sort of sort out, but generally it seems to be very similar to the British system. Look, I don't think there's anything wrong with acknowledging people that have done good work. I think that it's
Especially with a
quite a
bum.
lovely system in terms of that. I think that there are some people when you get to like, for example, I went through the whole Duke of Edinburgh system and sort of meeting some of meeting some of the athletes who have been, our gold medalists and some really important, lovely, wonderful people who do such wonderful work out in the community and meet and inspire people. Like, I think that there are some people who, do a lot of good, people who raise loads of money for charity, people who, go off out of their way to just be general good human beings. I don't think there's anything wrong with that sort of reward system, as long as it's fairly administered and it's, properly enforced and policed. So, I don't know how it works here. I don't know, I'm not behind the scenes looking at every text message and every decision. You can only hope that it's properly enforced, but hey, we live in, humans are,
Until Liz
nepotism and
Truss
humans are
adopts her
one in part,
proper line, until Liz Truss
but
becomes the effective monarch of the country, and we have Queen Elizabeth back on the throne again, I'm afraid we'll always have one or two challenges. I'm sure, Richard, you'd agree. It's time King Charles abdicated and handed over to Liz.
I think that also we ought to mention, Micah, I'm just sticking to the honours list, and I mean, you're being erratic deliberately, Alex, trying to throw me off the scent of any defence. I would point out Michael Eavis, Father of Glastonbury, a knighthood, Jenny Cooper, blockbuster writer, the Dame, fair enough, Amelia
See,
Clark.
Gilly's written an awful lot about bums, so she should have deserved a British Unicorn Medal.
Game of Thrones actress Amelia Clarke with her mother Jennifer, that's for charity. But both got MBEs, first time a mother and daughter have. But the one I'm saving for you, Alex, because I think it's a particularly good one, is Sir Ridley Scott. He, already a knight, has become a Knight Grand Cross of the Order of the British Empire. I say I mean, have you seen Napoleon?
No.
Why not?
Because frankly, I'm waiting for it to actually come onto a streaming service, which will be much more appreciative of the full Ridley Scott version.
It won't have all the 4 hours, yes, but I mean the big screen is important for the battles. But what I'm
And
pointing
it
out,
can't match Rod Steiger in Waterloo, frankly.
Rod Steiger was terrific. Fact remain regarding Ridley Scott that he's, and we saw this in Gladiator, Kingdom of Heaven, of course, Alien and Blade Runner, 1492 as well. He is a remarkable filmmaker. 85. He does know how to make extraordinary epics. What he does is paint the can. I'm not saying historically accurate or whatever, and of
But
course
why
he's got
no
it.
honour for Ken Loach then?
Because he's turned it down, you know very well why, and you also know politically that it would be something that he wouldn't want. In fact, quite large numbers have turned them down, but it's only about 2%. including Albert Finney, J.G. Ballard, Paul Scofield, Knighthood
Richard, did
Three.
You turn down the knighthood?
I did not, because I have not been offered one. Alex, I can reveal that here. But Dame Margaret Beckett seemed to be a very good choice. Sajid Javid, well, maybe. But so far as this list is concerned, most of it is pretty worthy. Minority ethnic, 15%. Gender equality, some way to go, 42% in the top honours, which, of course, leaves 58% male, and as a result, clearly they have a way to go there. But it is a reasonable list, and, well, whether it's the first stained glass window designer to get a knighthood, Brian Clark, or indeed Stuart Murphy, former chief executive officer of the English National Opera, gets a CBE. Don Black, songwriter, CBE. I mean, these are good names, but most of them are unsung individuals or names we don't know.
Don Black wasn't unsung. He actually sung quite a lot. That's why he actually got all the lyrics right.
Alex, a play on words, but a lack of appreciation of the system, although done for effect for radio, I suspect, rather than any deep personal conviction.
Richard, on a day in which we have to commemorate the fact that David Kernan, the Zulu and Carry On actor, has passed away, 10 years older than Tom Wilkinson, clearly our people pass on, and these trinkets and vanities, all our vanities, will simply actually just pass on with them. So I gather you wanted to speak about the full Monty and indeed the recent passing of our 75-year-old actor, Tom Wilkinson.
Yes, indeed, because Tom Wilkinson was one of the, I think he was one of the best character actors, and his performance opposite Sissy Spacek in The Bedroom, particularly macabre, no spoilers at all, but I would recommend anyone who wants to see a story how lives can be unsettled in a small town when tragedies occur and what happens subsequently. This is a movie that will chill your blood. And Tom Wilkinson was his best performance. Also, he was very good in Michael Clayton and in as a kind of comic role, getting his feet toasted, as I recall, in Shakespeare in Love. And then there were a whole series go with the Pearl Earring. He had a strong screen presence, and of course the Full Monty, of course, a movie that really has a very special place in everyone's hearts. He was one of the strippers, and it's a film that I think everyone enjoyed. Peter Castaneda directed, and Wilkinson, excellent performance. He always, I don't ever remember a film where he gave a bad performance in, whether it's a film Batman or whether it was a cameo performance. No, a terrific screen presence. I met him once, terribly modest, very, very charming. But yes, I mean, he really will be missed at 75.
Well, yes, but he was the son of Marjorie Percival and Thomas Wilkinson. And indeed, his net worth, according to the internet, a mere $12 million. So I'm afraid doesn't really come into the same league as Natasha Wanton. A mere worth of $12 million. Pointless, really, on that sort of basis. You wouldn't even sort of consider that side of things there. But were you a Tom Wilkinson fan, Natasha? Or was it just a case of, well, random character actors? I'm sure they've got a place in this world.
I would love a spare $12 million. I think we all would. No, I'm not worth $12 million. Not in education.
Probably Grand Budapest Hotel that he got that for, really.
I enjoy the movies that he's in. I wouldn't necessarily look at a movie and go, that was a Tom Wilkinson movie, but I appreciate him when he's in it, if that makes sense. Like, I mean, who doesn't adore The Full Monty? It is just, it's just wonderful. The Best Exotic Married Old Hotel, Rush Hour, like, there's some great movies that he's in. I guess it, maybe it's just a generational thing. I don't particularly know him that well in terms of, like, I wouldn't go to a movie and go, oh, that's a Tom Wilkinson movie. But
like Clint Eastwood.
From what I've seen, he seems to be very good.
Sorry, Natasha, just to say, you're absolutely right. There wasn't such a thing as a Tom Wilkinson movie. One critic put it very well, I thought, saying he was quietly wonderful.
I love that. I think that's a really lovely way to reflect on someone and their passing. That I'd like someone to say that about me. That would
I've heard it said that they regularly do, but they say it so quietly, Natasha, nobody can hear them. Anyway, let's carry on. You see the irony that's in that particular part. Quietly wonderful. Oh, well, never mind. So, Richard, next up, I suppose you'll be reviewing Wonka. Anything else that you've got planned for 2024 as we launch into a whole new era of entertainment and joy, sadly, post Liz Truss?
Well, yes, we've got I've got Priscilla lined up, Wonka, and also well, we will look at Poor Things. I think we
You
have
already
already
have.
Things. Yes. No, there will be others. I must get to Ferrari because that does sound absolutely fascinating. And of course, the Golden Globes are on us quite soon, so we must have another look. I suggest at the nominees, and I have also seen Paul Giamatti in the well, you could almost call it the holdover, the successor, in a sense, to Sideways, the directed by Alexander Payne, and indeed it has Paul Giamatti as a
Wine
teacher,
drinker.
someone who's well, it's we'll wait.
Somnambulist. Or sommelier, rather. Sommelier, perhaps, as opposed to somnambulist. Sleepwalker, as opposed to wine taster. It's all very confusing. Anna, is there anything that you feel Richard should look at that you feel actually he hasn't mentioned that? I mean, from your own perspective, from the cultural element, where would you point him?
To be honest, I was thinking maybe there are no translations, I think, unfortunately, to those movies, but there are some old Romanian movies, really old, like 1950, 1960, that are good, are really good. And I remember we also have the DVDs from those. And I remember again watching them with my mom late at night, and they're really good. And they got awards, and I can give him a list with the names if
I
he's
think you
ever
should actually dig these out and actually set the challenge because Richard has had a dearth of authentic
there.
1950s, 1960s Romanian movies that he's seemingly apparently avoided out of some willfulness, it almost seems.
There is one I remember called The Boers, which is it's just amazing. It's so funny. You laugh so much. The costumes are so beautiful, and the actors. I think back then they had the women had this ha the, their hairs done so beautiful. They had them. I don't know how to say it in English, to be quite honest, but they had them up here. And I don't know, their hairstyles were really beautiful, and the men were on the totally opposite side. I remember they were marrying quite young women that were beautiful, that were smart, that were everything, and the men, boors, obviously, they were funny, but they were quite unpleasant to be around. And the action basically is one of them wants to marry his daughter, and the daughter doesn't want to get married without knowing the husband. So the stepmom with all of the other girls, mom's friends, just come to take the daughter to meet the guy, and their husbands are with her father, and they meet. And then the husbands find out, and then the boy dresses as a girl, and it's a whole lot of drama, but such a funny one. It's, I don't know, 1 hour and a half. And I watch that movie once a year, and I never feel the time.
And the title of the movie once again is
The Boers.
The
I will write it
Boers.
down.
Exactly, The Boers. Personally, I'd also give a thumbs up to the Blake Edwards original Pink Panther with Capucine and Claudia Cardinale as another classic of its time, much underrated, even with David Niven, often regarded as the precursor to Richard Fitzwilliams without the moustache, basically. That's Richard without the moustache. But there we are, David Niven doing his stuff as well. At that moment, and whilst we still await Richard to actually pick up his knighthood, well, the campaign has to start somewhere, doesn't it, basically? Sir Richard Fitzwilliams, that's what we need to look for. We will put that in place to Natasha Wanton, to Anna Coscarnall, and as ever, to Richard Fitzwilliams. Huge thanks. I'd also like to thank Liz Truss, of course, without whom the whole process would have been problematic. And let's face it, no New Year's honours would be complete Do you think it could be an annual thing, Richard, that Liz could possibly be prevailed upon to provide a list of honours, maybe on an annual basis, you know, in another initiative for British politics and so on?
I honestly, I think that the question of resignation honours and also the influence the Prime Minister has on the system. I mean, it's worthwhile remembering that in the gift of the King is the Knights of the Garter, which is 1348, the oldest order of chivalry in Britain, Knights of Thistle of Scotland, the Royal Victorian Order, and also the Order of Merit. All the others are in the gift of, well, of the government in the sense that the Cabinet Office. There are nine committees to make choices, added by aided by experts. We know who's on the committees. Some of the names come from departments, and the Prime Minister obviously has a certain say. But with these resignation honours lists, I mean, will Keir Starmer, when I suspect he will become Prime Minister, when he ceases to be, will he continue this tradition? I think it's rather to be hoped that if he does, he might. I mean, Margaret Thatcher's was totally uncontroversial. You know, you honor secretaries and policemen and this sort of thing. But cronies have, well, I mean, Boris Johnson's this. We could go on, Alex, on this. We would almost.
Oh, yes, but Boris is obviously holding fire until he actually becomes re-elected as global leader once again. Anna's been very busy. Just a reminder, it's Sika Alexandrescu, the 1960 movie The Boers, as in Boors, and her other recommendation from 1965, directed by Popescu Gopu, If I Were Harap Alb. There we are. We'll endeavour to actually check those down. I know Natasha will certainly be on the case. Natasha, enjoy your New Year's celebrations as you will be the first to work through that. The rest of you who might be listening to this on a Thursday, well, don't worry, we're not time jumping. Well, kind of we are. But as ever, keep watching those movies.
Thank you. flushing faces, flushing heartbeats. Speed up, I have never been so keyed up. Any second now, they'll begin to run. Hark, the bell is ringing, they are springing forward. Look, it has begun. What a frenzy moment that was. If they maintain an exhausting pace, 'twas a thrilling, absolutely chilling running of the Ascot opening race.
Above giving lessons, not him, I heard him say so. Well, I ain't come here to ask for any compliment, and if my money's not good enough, I can go elsewhere.
Good enough for what?
Good enough for you. Now you know, don't you? I'm come to have lessons, I am, and to pay for them too, make no mistake.
What is it you want, my girl?
I want to be a lady in a flower shop, instead of selling at the corner at Tottenham Court Road. But they won't take me unless I can talk more genteel. He said he could teach me. I am. Ready to pay, not asking any favour, and he treats me as if I was dirt. I know what lessons cost as well as you do, and I'm ready to pay. I won't give more than a shilling. Take it or leave it.
It's almost irresistible. She's so deliciously low. So horribly dirty. I'll take it. I'll make a duchess of this draggle-tailed guttersnipe.
I'll wash my face and hands before I come, I did.
Where the devil are my slippers?
Ding dong, do you know why they're ringing? Do you know why the birds are singing? Well, you're gonna get a big surprise, 'cause I'm gonna put you wise. The bells are ringing for me and my gal. The birds are singing for me and my gal. Everybody's been knowing to a wedding they're going, and for weeks they've been sewing every Susie and Sal. They're congregating for me and my gal. The parson's waiting for me and my gal. And sometime we're gonna build a little home for two or three or four or more in Loveland for me and my gal.
The bells are ringing
and my gal. The birds are singing for me and my gal. Everybody's been going to a wedding they're going, and for weeks they've been sewing. They've been sewing something old and something new, so something that is blue, so they can make a trousseau for my gal. They're congregating for me and my gal. Look here, why, that's the parson waiting for me and my gal. And sometime we're gonna build a little home
for two.
Or three.
Or four.
Or five.
Or maybe more.
Love land for me and my gal.
We'll be right back.
black private dick, that's a sex machine to all the cheeks. You're damn right. Who is the man that would risk his neck for his brother, man? Can you dig it? The cat that won't cop out when there's danger all about. Shut. Right on. You see, this cat chef is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
What I'm talking about, Chef?
Then we can do it.
He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman.